This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One-Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we are taking a look at game week 37. There are just two game weeks between now and the end of the season, but this one is a huge double game week. Six teams are doubling this week, so a good opportunity for anyone chasing in their mini leagues or looking to make a late charge up the overall rankings. So without further ado, let's get into it. Right then, game week 37 is here. The deadline is Saturday the 11th of May at 11 a.m. UK time. So there are six teams doubling in game week 37. They are Manchester City, Manchester United, Spurs, Chelsea, Newcastle and Brighton. So I think the best way of approaching this episode is to run through each of those teams and discuss the best picks from each team. And then we'll discuss how we can get the right balance to comprise the best starting 11 for game week 37. Now, two things to remember going into this game week. The first is many people will be playing their bench boost chip because they've saved it for this big double game week. In that case, we need to also consider the best way to comprise not just your starting 11, but also your bench, as you'll be scoring points off that as well if you've got this chip active. And the other thing to remember is it's not always just about players that double. There are a few good picks from teams that just have a single game week. So we'll also be discussing towards the end some of the best options for single game week players as well. So without further ado, let's start with Manchester City. And their double sees them away to Fulham and then away to Spurs. So not necessarily the easiest of doubles on paper with two away fixtures. Fulham have been pretty strong at home this season, and Spurs certainly do offer plenty of attacking threat, although they have been on a pretty poor run of form lately, and they are very, very leaky at the back. So I think there's not really too much debate as to who is the absolute number one choice at Manchester City. It is, of course, Erling Haaland. A four-goal haul in game week 36 will have delighted many FPL managers who inevitably will have captained him. And that will probably be a theme that continues into double game week 37 as well. If you don't have Haaland, now is absolutely the time to bring him in ahead of this double. Your last chance really at capitalising on these fixtures between now and the end of the season. Obviously, he's not cheap, and if you don't have him now, the likelihood is that you probably don't have him because you can't afford him. And that might be just to do with how your squad is made up with other premium players. What I will say is, even if it is for like a minus four hit, I would strongly recommend bringing Haaland in. Let's say you've still got Salah and you don't have Haaland. I think it would be worth downgrading Salah to any double game week player in midfield that allows you to afford Haaland up front. The one caveat I would say about bringing in Haaland at this stage is it's probably not worth doing if you're looking to really make a big charge up your ranking. Or you're trying to desperately chase someone who is in front of you in your mini leagues. And the main reason for that is they've probably already got him. So by getting him, you're only going to match whatever points that person scores. And if you want to find a differential, then there's no point in taking a hit to go and get Haaland in when the majority of FPL managers already have him. Many people who don't have him will have made that conscious decision to back against him and back other options instead. The problem is that the vast majority of FPL managers now have a set front three of Isak, Jackson and Haaland. And they are the three that all double this week and have been in very, very good form in the last couple of game weeks. So I would absolutely recommend that as your front three. But if you don't have that, then you obviously need to look at differentials elsewhere. And we'll come on to those in a bit. Moving on to the second most popular asset at Manchester City, and that is Phil Foden. He's having an absolutely incredible season. Back in game week 36 after missing game week 35 through illness. Just the one assist in the 5-1 victory over Wolves, which is perhaps a little under par for what we would expect when City score five. But we know that he can be explosive. He does get forward. He's scoring plenty of goals this season and a great assist threat as well, creating loads of chances. Some would say that when he plays alongside Kevin De Bruyne, his goal involvement threat decreases slightly. And there is some stats to back that up. But on the whole, I still think that he is an absolutely fantastic pick. And I would definitely recommend getting him in your team ahead of this game week. And then the third most popular pick at the moment is the defender Vardiol, who has been in great form in the last few weeks. The one issue, obviously, with a Pep defence is that it is prone to rotation. So absolutely none of the defenders at Manchester City have been absolutely guaranteed 90 minutes this season. For a long time, we thought that was not the case with Kyle Walker, who was an ever-present mainstay at the back. Similar sort of thing with Ruben Diaz, but in the last few weeks, both of them have been benched at times. So Vardiol at the moment does seem to be first choice on the left for Manchester City, and he does get forward a lot. Really good goal threat, creating chances as well. So I really recommend Vardiol for this double. Of course, there is the risk that he's benched for one of them. We know that is a risk, in particular with defenders at Manchester City. And the other thing to say is, whilst Manchester City do have a really good defence, they are still quite prone to conceding late goals. Sort of, you know, a random consolation. We saw it against Wolves, scored five, but no clean sheet. And it is really infuriating when you see a team that is so much better and stronger than the opposition. They really should be keeping clean sheets. You've got a defender in your FPL team and they're not delivering those extra points for clean sheets. And I think outside of Arsenal, that has been the case with almost every team in the Premier League this season. So I do like Vardiol from an attacking threat perspective, but be warned, even though it's Fulham and Spurs, City should be beating both these teams based on form and the caliber of players that they have. I still can see goals being conceded by Manchester City. It just wouldn't surprise me at all. So you have to bear that in mind when you go for a Man City defender. Of course, Ederson is another defensive option at Manchester City. But ultimately, I would avoid that because there isn't that much upside. And when you have a great team like Manchester City and they're doubling, you want the players that can really provide big, big hauls. And realistically, Ederson, I know he's got a few long balls in him, but the assists are going to be very, very few and far between throughout a season for him. Whereas your outfield players, and particularly your midfielders and attackers, are where you want to go for Man City assets. Speaking of which, there is one man we haven't discussed at City yet, and his name is Kevin De Bruyne. I think Kevin De Bruyne is a brilliant differential for a Manchester City triple up. If you've already got Haaland and Foden and you're able to make a luxury move this week, then I would be swapping a midfielder out, particularly if you've got a single game week player and you can afford to perhaps upgrade him to a Kevin De Bruyne. I really like that attacking, aggressive move this game week. Huge potential for massive upside. Yes, for example, if you're selling someone like a Saka and bringing in a De Bruyne, then there is the risk that you miss out on a potential haul for Saka against Manchester United. But two games for De Bruyne, I do really like that move. I wouldn't be completely convinced if you've got to take a hit to do it. But if it's just one free transfer and it's just Saka to De Bruyne, I do like that move. I think it's a slight risk, but one that I think is worth taking the risk on because there is huge, huge upside there. We've seen how De Bruyne can be absolutely explosive with his point scoring in a single game week. So two games against Fulham and Spurs, he could do serious damage. So I do like that move as well. Okay, moving on from Manchester City, and we'll now discuss Manchester United. A very, very different tale in the red half of Manchester, where the form has been pretty poor, to say the least. And also, there has been huge injury problems at Manchester United, which has made it really difficult to find any decent FPL picks this season there. There has been some value at the back with the likes of Maguire, who has been a threat from set pieces. He's now been confirmed injured and out for the rest of the season, so even he is no longer an option, and he is someone who I'm going to have to address in my team. We have heard from Erik ten Hag in his press conference that Bruno Fernandes is now back in training. He, of course, missed game week 36 through injury. Very, very rare for him. So it must have been a fairly significant injury for him to miss a game, because that's not something that happens particularly regularly with him. However, Ten Hag has said he is back in training. So that sounds pretty positive. If you were thinking about selling him, or you were thinking that you might need to make that move because he was an injury doubt, it might be worth holding on to him now, given those fairly warm sounds coming out of Ten Hag. I reckon, unless you are in a very luxurious place and you don't have anything else to address, I think I'd be holding on to him now. Fairly difficult fixtures for Manchester United in this double. Two home games, though, which does help. The first, though, is against title-chasing Arsenal, and then they host Newcastle after that. So not going to be the easiest. Two teams that have been scoring plenty of goals, and Manchester United have been giving up loads and loads of chances recently with a very, very weak defence of late. So I certainly don't expect any clean sheet points returning from Manchester United players. But they are a moments team, and Bruno Fernandes is still a bit of a moments player who can deliver returns. We've seen that in the last 6 weeks, Bruno Fernandes has been a little ray of hope for Manchester United. 6 goals and 1 assist in the last 6 game weeks, and that includes last week where he missed. So actually it's in his last 5 appearances, which is a really, really good return. 7 goal involvements in his last 5 appearances for Manchester United. The only other player that I think might be worth considering, and he has had little spells of good form, been slightly quieter of late, and that is Alejandro Garnacho. A couple of assists in his last 4 appearances for the club, so he does still offer decent-ish attacking threat, and he is obviously significantly cheaper than Bruno Fernandes, so perhaps that could be the way to go if you're a little strapped for cash. Other than that, there aren't too many appealing options at United. I know a few people have been looking at Diogo Dalo in defence because there are just so few defensive options that offer clean sheet potential. We're looking at attacking threat instead. So Dalo does at least offer that. I personally don't particularly see any clean sheet potential at Manchester United this game week, so he's probably not at the top of my list personally. And I think there are enough decent-ish options in defence outside of Manchester United before you have to go there. So the only other option I think might be worth considering at Manchester United if you're looking for a differential is Rasmus Højlund. However, I think he's significantly below the likes of Haaland, Isak and Nicholas Jackson. I would have probably put João Pedro ahead of Højlund as well at Brighton, who also double. However, with Pedro's injury, I would say that probably the best option now for a striker that doubles outside of those top three would probably be Højlund. But I don't think it's really worth going there unless you really do back Manchester United to get something out of these two games and you think Højlund is the way they're going to do it. Next, we have Tottenham. Now, a interesting double game week for them. They've got Burnley on Saturday, and then on Tuesday evening, they've got Manchester City. Now, both of those fixtures are at home, which does help because Spurs are definitely stronger at home. However, there is obviously 2 significant issues. The first is a leaky defence, and that has been the case all season. But the second issue is the form that they're currently on. 4 games in a row they've lost. That is the worst run in the Premier League for Spurs in 20 years. So it's really remarkable that there are so many elite level FPL managers out there that are looking at double and tripling up on Tottenham assets during this horrendous Premier League run. But it also just goes to show that a team that has really bad form in the Premier League doesn't necessarily also mean they've got bad FPL picks in that team. We've seen it with Manchester United, with Bruno Fernandes in recent weeks. And also, we've seen it at times with Spurs as well. So I do still think that Son is a great pick for this week. He has really good records against both Burnley and Manchester City. In fact, he scored a Puskas Award a couple of years back against Burnley with an absolutely incredible goal dribbling the entire length of the pitch. And his record against Manchester City is very good as well. So I'd certainly recommend making sure you've got Son in your squad for this double game week. I also quite like Pedro Porro. And again, as I've said before, there aren't a lot of clean sheet potentials for defensive picks this season outside of Arsenal, really. So we've really got to look at attacking threat. I do think that Pedro Porro still offers that. He's probably under-delivered in that regard this season. But I do think that these are two teams that play quite expansive, aggressive and front foot football. And generally speaking, those are the teams that Spurs have done better against. Certainly in terms of goal threat and getting forward. Pedro Porro also on set pieces. Madison's limited game time being dropped in the last couple of weeks has also meant that Pedro Porro has been nailed on set pieces as well, taking corners and free kicks. That may change if Madison comes back in and they might share those duties as they often do when they're both in the starting lineup. But I do still think Pedro Porro offers really good expected goal involvement threat as well. So I like Pedro Porro. I mean, he isn't the only Spurs defender that I'm actually looking at as a reasonable option to go with this week, which is incredible, really, when you consider how many goals they're conceding and the form that they're in. But as I said before, there are not too many clean sheets out there at the moment. So we're just looking at teams with good fixtures that can get attacking returns when it comes to defensive picks. And I do think that Spurs do still have that. If you look at Romero, for example, he has been getting forward massively for Spurs. Disciplinary has been an issue in the past. In recent weeks, that's been less of a concern. And his goal threat has gone up massively as the season has gone on. He's looked really dangerous aerially from set pieces. He hit the post from a header from a corner, I think, last week. He also scored a goal. He's getting forward. If you look at his heat map, as the game goes on, especially when Spurs are chasing, the positions that Romero is taking up is quite remarkable. He's quite often leading that line and charging up the pitch, trying to make things happen, really aggressive in the press. And when he's in those positions on the pitch, that obviously increases his opportunity to score or assist. So I do like Romero as a pick as well defensively if you're going for a bit of a punt. Elsewhere in midfield, this is where it gets a bit tricky for Spurs assets, and that's because we've seen lots of rotation from Ange Postecoglou in recent weeks. Madison has been a little bit off the ball in recent weeks, and that resulted in him being benched for the last two Premier League fixtures. We've seen Kulusevski massively underperform in terms of FPL returns. Brennan Johnson went through a really good spell, but hasn't been guaranteed starts in recent weeks. So I do think there is a lot of risk there. But the most significant midfielder at Spurs is actually Richarlison. I say midfielder because he's listed as that in the game. Of course, when he plays for Spurs, he's playing up front, which is always appealing to have an out-of-position midfielder playing as a number nine. However, we have recently heard mixed information with regards to Richarlison's fitness. Now, he had recently come back from an injury, worked his minutes up, got himself fit again, looked really good when he came off the bench against Liverpool. And we were expecting him to start probably up front for at least one of these two games for Spurs. However, despite Ange saying that there was no fresh injury concerns in his press conference on Friday, a few hours later, it was reported that he has now missed out on the Brazil squad. And that is because the Brazil manager was asked about it and he said that's because of a fresh injury that we heard about this morning. That was the direct translation. So that does not sound particularly promising. And I would now say that it's not worth the risk bringing in Richarlison, despite what we've heard from Ange. I don't think it's worth the risk because he could well have found himself injured in training, perhaps today. The direct translation from the Brazil manager suggests that may well be the case, but we just don't know for certain. And I think he's probably now an avoid because it's just too much of a risk. So that's Spurs outfield options. I would also just caveat all of that by saying that I do think that Vicario could also be an option for a goalkeeper. Not really, again, as I said, for clean sheet potential, although there is the possibility of that against Burnley at least. And also in game week 38, Spurs do also have Sheffield United. And I do think that is significant when looking at Spurs assets. Two of their last three games are Burnley and Sheffield United. Two teams fighting or are already relegated. So I do think that that is significant when weighing up to bring in Spurs players. A good opportunity for them to improve their recent form. But you're not going to get clean sheets guaranteed from any Spurs defender or goalkeeper. Vicario does offer you save points. Spurs do leave themselves so open and vulnerable to attacks that you do see quite a lot of saves from Vicario. So save points are an opportunity there. That can also lead to bonus points as well, especially if there is a clean sheet potentially against Burnley. So I don't mind Vicario as a option as well. One of the things that's most appealing about Vicario at Spurs is he's one of the few players outside of perhaps Son who is guaranteed 90 minutes. Even Son has been coming off early in recent weeks under Ange. So Vicario offers you guaranteed start and the minutes. So that's quite appealing as well when you're trying to comprise a team of players that are going to play in both games of the double and you're going to get good minutes and potential returns in terms of points. Then Vicario actually takes a lot of that uncertainty away. So I do quite like him as a goalkeeping option as well. Moving on to Chelsea. And I think in recent weeks, Chelsea's form has massively upturned. Now, obviously, most people have Cole Palmer. Quite clearly, the number one must-have pick from Chelsea. And the majority of FPL managers absolutely already have him. Outside of that, there is one player whose form has probably coincided with Chelsea's form, and it could well be some of the reason for that, and that is Nicholas Jackson, who has been delivering big returns in recent weeks. And I do think that his conversion rate of chances to goals and therefore FPL points is one of the reasons why Chelsea's form has improved so much in recent weeks. I do think he is a really good pick. And with Chelsea's double, which by the way is Nottingham Forest and then Brighton, both away from home, so not ideal for Chelsea. And I do think in particular that game away at Forest will be tricky for them. Forest have been in reasonable form, certainly at home in recent weeks. So it certainly won't be an easy fixture, but Chelsea's form has been very impressive in recent weeks. And I like Palmer and Jackson. And I also like a triple up of Palmer, Jackson, and then Madueke if you fancy going for a third Chelsea attacker. Perhaps you're in a luxurious position to make a move for someone like him because you don't have injury concerns elsewhere. I do quite like Madueke. His underlying data has been really impressive in recent weeks, and that started to convert into FPL points. So I don't mind him at all. It was for a long time this season Malagusto as a good option defensively, just because of that attacking threat. Obviously, been injured recently. Came off the bench in game week 36 to get 7 minutes. So we are uncertain now as to whether or not he will get the minutes in the double. That is a tricky one, because you would think that being first choice while Reece James has been out for the majority of the season, he would come straight back in. But Chelsea have been doing very well with and without him. They do have other options at right back. And the other thing that complicates things even further in terms of a threat to Gusto's minutes is that we've also heard from Pochettino that Reece James has been back in training and could well be part of the matchday squad in game week 37 for that Forest fixture. So that could mean that he might get some minutes off the bench against Forest. It could mean he could start. It certainly means there's an increased chance of him starting the second of those two games away at Brighton. So I do think that Malagusto is now under serious threat of losing his minutes. We'll have to wait and see if he comes back in. Another one that is a bit of a doubt in my team and something that I may or may not have to address this game week. The only other player that many people will have or will have been contemplating at Chelsea is the goalkeeper Petrovic, who has been pretty reasonable in terms of returns in recent weeks. Two clean sheets for Chelsea in the last two game weeks against Spurs and West Ham. So that's been quite rare to see and very useful if you are a Petrovic owner. And I do like him as an option, perhaps your bench option for your goalkeeper this week. No harm if you're bench boosting, seeing Forest and Brighton. Potential for clean sheets again for Chelsea, although the fact that they are both away from home, I do think does slightly hamper that potential. Okay, next up we've got Newcastle, and there are two absolute clear standout picks. We've obviously got Alexander Isak up front, who has been consistently delivering returns in recent weeks, and we've got Anthony Gordon. Now, Gordon in particular, I do like as a midfield option, because I do think that he might be one of the slight differentials. I do think that the majority of FPL managers will have Palmer, Foden and Son. Palmer is 50% owned, Foden is 40% owned, and Son is 35% owned. So these are not particularly highly differential options. However, Gordon, who has been having a brilliant season, consistently delivering returns, and has a double game week, is currently just 25% owned. So obviously not a huge differential, but compared to those first three, he does offer you the ability to climb your rank if he gets the FPL points. And he absolutely could do that with the double game week for Newcastle this week. They're at home against Brighton first, and then they're away at Manchester United. That's a really interesting double game week for Newcastle, because home against Brighton does feel like a great fixture on paper. Brighton have been pretty leaky at the back of late and don't tend to travel very well. Then on top of that, you've got a Manchester United side that are conceding chances and goals for fun. And I absolutely expect Newcastle to go to Old Trafford and cause them a lot of problems. So I do like Gordon. I do like Isak. There are a couple of rumours going around that the return from Callum Wilson from injury could be short-lived. Now, we heard nothing from Eddie Howe about a potential reoccurrence of any injury for Callum Wilson, but there have been a few rumours online, so I would approach Callum Wilson with caution. I remember this time last season, many people went for a double up of Isak and Wilson, and it proved very fruitful indeed, because they both were delivering even when they were playing together. That may not be the case necessarily this time round. We'll have to wait and see if Wilson is fit, but He did come back from injury last game week and he got on the score sheet. It was interesting to see that he gave Isak the penalty, because that is not something that we would have normally expected from Callum Wilson. Perhaps because Isak's going for the golden boot, although that is probably a long shot now since Haaland's 4 goals. But interesting that Wilson did offer the penalty. I'm not sure if that will happen this time round, because obviously Isak then missed that penalty. So if Wilson's on the pitch, my prediction is that Wilson will be the penalty taker. If he's not on the pitch, no problem. Isak gets penalties. Despite him missing the last one, I still can't see the penalties going elsewhere in that team. I think the only other player that is really worth consideration at Newcastle is probably Dan Burn in defence. Now, I do think there is a chance of a clean sheet for Newcastle against Brighton at home. For some reason, I think there's less chance against Manchester United, and that's just because it's away at Old Trafford. Bruno Fernandes will be back, fit, in all likelihood, and he has been in great form. So I do think that that's probably less likely to get a clean sheet. But the biggest concern when it comes to defensive picks at Newcastle is the goalkeeper position. Now, many people, myself included, have had Dubravka for the majority of the season since Nick Pope got his injury. We have been told that Nick Pope is back in training, and we saw last week that he was in fact on the bench. Now, if he's fit enough for the bench, you would assume, given that he's the number one choice keeper at the club, that he'd be fit to start. It's not like an outfield player where you sort of ease them back in with a certain number of minutes. It does seem odd that he was on the bench. It does make me think, it gives me a glimmer of hope as a Dubravka owner that maybe Howe wants to just not upset the apple cart, not change things too much at the back, and just keep Dubravka in goal. That being said, I think with the Euros around the corner this summer, Nick Pope's going to want to have a little bit of game time. Obviously, he's not first choice keeper, but he will want to play, get back some match sharpness. And I do think that Dubravka could be a problem for me and many FPL managers between now and the end of the season, because it would be a surprise if Pope doesn't get any more minutes this season. I can see him coming back in. Maybe it is straight from the beginning of game week 37, in which case it's going to be very frustrating for Dubravka owners. If you are in a position to make that move and you don't have any other sort of fires to put out or issues to address in your team, then I would recommend selling Dubravka, because it's just really frustrating having a double game week goalkeeper that may get you absolutely no minutes. I unfortunately have other issues in my squad to deal with, so I'm not sure if I'm prepared to take a hit. But I do think that if you are in that position and you don't need to take a hit, then I would absolutely be selling Dubravka, and I would be looking for a keeper that you know is absolutely nailed for minutes and is going to play between now and the rest of the season. My number one choice keeper between now and the end of the season is actually Vicario. And the main reason for it is 2 out of the 3 fixtures are Burnley and Sheffield United. I just think, despite Spurs' form, on paper, they're the team that have the best chance statistically of getting clean sheets. I think even Arsenal, who have been keeping the clean sheets, have a single game week this week, and it's against Manchester United at Old Trafford. So statistically, I would say this week, best chance of a clean sheet is Arsenal. But between now and the end of the season, I'd say those 2 fixtures for Spurs against Burnley and Sheffield United, either side of the City game, just gives Vicario the edge for my number one recommendation for a goalkeeping transfer. So, moving on from Newcastle now, and the final team doubling in game week 37 is Brighton. Now, Brighton have been in pretty poor form recently, but they did manage to get a win at home against Villa in game week 36. And they managed to keep a clean sheet as well, which was very unexpected. However, the double in 37 for Brighton is pretty tricky. It starts with an away fixture at Newcastle, and then in midweek they host Chelsea. Not easy at all. So for that reason, I do think that if you're going for a Brighton player, it's probably just because they've got a double, not necessarily because the fixtures are great or you think there's a great chance of returns. You're probably just trying to fill your squad full of doublers. If you do want to go with that as a bit of a punt, then Pascal Gross is probably the best option at Brighton. They do have some injury problems throughout the whole side. I would have said that João Pedro would be probably my number one recommendation from Brighton, but he is now an injury doubt, so I'd be steering clear of him. And Pascal Gross has the minutes. He'll also be on penalties if João Pedro isn't playing. So I do quite like Gross as an option. Outside of that, there is no one really that I'm particularly interested in. Maybe the goalkeeper, Verbruggen, although we do know with De Zerbi, he does like to surprise us with random rotation. And he has rotated keepers already this season. So we could well see Steele get some minutes between now and the end of the season as well. So I would probably be steering clear of anyone outside of Pascal Gross as a little bit of a punt from Brighton. Now then, that's all the doublers. But let's not forget that there are teams that play a single game week this week, and they've got great FPL options to consider as well. The first of those is Arsenal. Now, Arsenal go away to Old Trafford and face Manchester United, who are leaking chances and goals like they're going out of fashion. And I do like an Arsenal attack, or even keeping Arsenal defenders if you've already got them. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go and buy Arsenal players, but many people will have Arsenal players in their squad at the moment. And there are certain Arsenal assets that I don't think are worth selling, even for a doubler this week. The first of those is Saka or Havertz. If you have one of those this week, I would be keeping them in my squad to face Manchester United. I do think that there is huge opportunity for big points returns from an Arsenal attacker this game week. Now, if you have both Saka and Havertz, then I think that's fair enough to sell one of them for a doubler, but I would probably be keeping at least one Arsenal asset this week. I don't recommend buying a single game week player this week, but I don't think it's worth selling them. And that also goes for players at the other end of the pitch. So if you own Saliba or Gabriel or Ben White or Raya, I wouldn't sell any of those four either. If you have more than one of them, then yes, sell one of them for a doubler. But I do think there is potential for clean sheets as well against Manchester United. I also think that it's worth remembering Arsenal have a great fixture in game week 38 at home to Everton. So there is a good chance for two clean sheets for Arsenal between now and the rest of the season. Arsenal, statistically, the most likely team to keep clean sheets this season. And they've got a really dangerous attack that has delivered while they're going for this title push. I can see them going absolutely all out at Old Trafford and at home against Everton. So I would not sell if you only have one Arsenal attacker or one Arsenal defender. If you have more than one of each of those, then absolutely sell for a doubler. Another team that have a single game week this week is Liverpool. They are away against Villa. Now, it's an interesting one. Earlier in the season, I wouldn't have been recommending this as a team to target, but Villa have really fallen off a cliff in recent weeks. After such a great season, it does start to look a little bit like they are running out of steam as the season draws to a close. They were knocked out of Europe to Olympiacos, a 2-0 loss there in the middle of the week. And they have been struggling recently, a 1-0 defeat to Brighton in game week 36 in the Premier League as well. So Villa may well be running out of steam. And I'm not suggesting that we go and buy Liverpool players, but if you do have a Liverpool asset, then they could prove to be a really nice differential, because Everyone's focusing on doublers, and I could easily see Salah getting returns in game weeks 37 and 38, away against Villa in 37, and then the final game at Anfield in 38 for Klopp, maybe even for Salah as well. Liverpool are at home to Wolves. So I really like Salah as a differential between now and the end of the season. It would be very tempting to hold on to him now for the rest of the season. I'm not saying buy him, because I do think that the doublers are the most appealing option to go for this week. But if you've already got him, you could maybe sell him for a doubler this week if you've got no other issues, and then bring him back in for that final game of the season. That could be an option. Outside of that, I wouldn't be going anywhere else for Liverpool players. And finally, we've got West Ham, who this week are at home against Luton. One of the best fixtures on paper this game week. However, once again, I don't think this is worth buying a West Ham player like a Jared Bowen. But if you do have him already, then he does become a really nice differential if you want to run the risk of going for a single game week player that you hold on to rather than selling for a doubler. So those are some of the options for single game week players. Final thing to discuss before we end the podcast this week is captaincy. Now, this really does depend on what your objectives are between now and the end of the season. If you are fairly risk averse as an FPL manager, or you're just really happy with your overall rank at the moment and you don't want to lose any of that, or you're happy where you are in your mini league, perhaps you're winning in your mini league and you want to hang on to that first place, then Haaland feels like the very sensible option for captaincy. We've seen how explosive he can be. That's off the back of a 4-goal haul in game week 36. His fixtures are against Fulham and Spurs. I think, don't overthink it, Captain Haaland. However, if you are a more risky FPL manager and you are looking perhaps to gain ground on someone ahead of you in your mini league, or you're really keen to improve your overall rank, then this could be a game week to go with a differential captaincy choice. And there are quite a few to choose from. So the first one I think that's worth considering is Heung-min Son. I think the fact that one of the games in the double, being Manchester City, will put a lot of people off going with Son as a captaincy candidate. But as I said before, he does have a reasonably good record against Manchester City. And the other game being against Burnley, a team that are playing quite expansive football, will give you opportunities to get in behind them. I do quite like Son as a differential captaincy choice for game week 37. The other option is Cole Palmer, who also has been very explosive in terms of point scoring at times this season. Chelsea's fixtures being away at Forest and away at Brighton does look quite tempting on paper. However, the fact that they're both away from home does slightly put me off Palmer as a differential option. The best differential options, I think, are the other Manchester City attacking assets. Because so many people will go Haaland, I think there is a massive opportunity to be less risk averse, but still go with a player who can absolutely deliver big hauls, and that's Foden or De Bruyne. Now, De Bruyne, I think, is the bigger risk because we don't know if he's got it in him to play back-to-back 90 minutes within the space of a few days. The first game is on Saturday and it is the early kickoff. So there is the potential that De Bruyne starts that game, but he may not start the game on Tuesday night against Spurs. However, with City chasing down this title and being in a really, really tight neck-and-neck title race with Arsenal, I think Pep can't afford to not start De Bruyne if he's fit and available for both those games. So I really like Kevin De Bruyne as a differential captaincy option as well. So my number one differential captaincy choice would be Son. My number two differential captaincy choice would be Kevin De Bruyne, and my number three would be Foden. I don't mind Cole Palmer as a pick as well, absolutely, but I do think those three are better differential captaincy picks than Palmer. But back to where I said before, my number one recommendation for captaincy this week is unsurprisingly Erling Haaland, and that's where I will almost certainly be going myself. So that just about wraps things up for this episode of the podcast. A little longer than usual, but lots to talk about with a huge double game week on the horizon. I will just finish off with my likely team ahead of the game week 37 deadline. I can reveal that I will be bench boosting this week. It's not an ideal bench boost week for me, and that's chiefly because I've got a couple of players who I'm risking not getting minutes from, namely Dubravka, who is under threat from the return of Nick Pope, and also Malo Gusto, who I spoke about earlier, returning from injury, but not guaranteed two starts in his double either. But that being said, there's only two game weeks left. Game week 38 is not an ideal time to bench boost with, you know, some surprising team selections. A few perhaps dead rubbers from some teams will mean some funny team selections and no guarantees of minutes there either. And also there is the potential that some of those players that I've just mentioned do at least double this week. So bench boost is active. And I do have transfers that I need to make, particularly in defence, because I've got lots of issues to address. And I'm not going to be able to address them all unless I take hits, and I'd rather not do that. But I've got two keepers at the moment, Petrovic and Dubravka. Dubravka, as I said before, under threat from the return of Nick Pope. There is the possibility that Dubravka doesn't get any more minutes for the rest of the season, which is particularly frustrating if I'm bench boosting with a double game week goalkeeper and he doesn't get any minutes at all. That being said, I do have even more issues in defence. And I've got Gusto, who isn't guaranteed the minutes because he's coming back from injury. I've got Maguire and Rico Lewis, who just aren't getting minutes at all. And I've got two single game week players in Aitnori and Gabriel. Now, Aitnori and Gabriel are the least of my concerns because they'll both play. They've got reasonable fixtures, Aitnori at home to Palace and Gabriel away at United. Not the worst fixtures in the world. And when you've got players who aren't getting your minutes at all in Maguire and Lewis, they need addressing. So the first one that's absolutely going to be sold is Maguire, and I will be bringing in Pedro Porro for him. I've only got one Spurs asset at the moment, Son. So Pedro Porro will join him and he will go into my defence. The next move that I think I need to make is Rico Lewis, who is currently blocking a City triple up of Haaland, Foden and De Bruyne, or Haaland, Foden and Vardiol. If I go with Vardiol, that means I can't make any other move for a De Bruyne in midfield. But I do quite like that move. And the only thing that's really tempting me into making the move for De Bruyne is if Saka was to be out. Now, Saka does have a flag against him. Slight injury concern. But we all know Arteta does like to mislead people, shall we say, when it comes to press conferences and injury updates. And I think that Saka would have to lose both legs to not be wheeled out and play against Manchester United, Arsenal in a serious title race for the first time in many years. They're so close, and I think that they have to keep the pressure up on Manchester City, and their best chance of doing that is playing Saka. So unless he is completely crocked and cannot play, I expect Saka to make the starting lineup, and I'm kind of banking on it because I'm not going to sell him. And I think I will do Rico Lewis for Vardiol and Maguire for Pedro Porro. That does mean that the rest of my defenders and keepers mean I've got the risk of Gusto and Dubravka not getting me minutes. But I'm prepared to take that risk when there are other bigger fires that need putting out in my team. Then in midfield, as I said before, I've got Saka with a single game week against Manchester United. Really hope he plays because I do think he can do damage in that fixture. And then I've probably got the four most popular midfielders for this game week, completing my midfield of Foden, Gordon, Son and Palmer. Then up front, I've got Haaland and Isak, two of the most popular three. Unfortunately, I can't afford to go for Nicholas Jackson as well to complete the hat-trick of popular attackers, like many will have. I've got Muniz on my bench. Now, it's an interesting one this week because Muniz for Fulham has a home fixture against Manchester City. And normally I'd be like, nah, no interest in that whatsoever. I am forced to kind of bench boost this week, which means that I'm probably looking for, you know, silver linings. And I do think that one of the silver linings is that Fulham have been fairly strong at home. City seem to have this bizarre habit of managing to find a way of conceding, even with comfortable victories. So Muniz could well find himself with hopefully some sort of consolation goal in a massive win for City where Haaland, Foden and Vardy are all delivering attacking returns. And then maybe I get that consolation goal from Muniz off the bench to help with that bench boost. So that's the ideal dream scenario for me. And that wraps things up for this episode. That's my team ahead of game week 37. Best of luck to all of you ahead of this deadline. It's a huge double game week, big opportunity for big rank rises. So good luck to you all. A reminder once again that the deadline is Saturday, the 11th of May at 11 a.m. UK time. So don't miss it. Just two game weeks left. Best of luck to you all chasing those green arrows. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast, and I'll talk to you again soon.